News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, like we always say and we always are. Hey, by the way, if you find yourself getting outside of the broad range of our AM-FM capability here at WVNN, just know that it does not matter. You can take us on your Christmas vacation. You can travel with us, go to the beach, whatever the case may be. Just know that all you got to do is this. On any device, go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org, our website. Click on Listen Live, and you are live. And like I always say, wherever you is, there we is, right there on the spot. And that's why we have listeners all over the place, which is just amazing to me. We got folks that call in from out of state, from down in South Alabama, all over, that just basically show that streaming online sometimes is just as important as broadcasting AM, FM, and we are doing it. All right, so my comments a minute ago, risk averse, and I titled that one, if I had to give it a title, it was at the risks of a risk averse culture. All right, hey, Copper, grab the mic. Let me ask you.
Yeah.
So, in your life, you got a time you can think of when you know you stepped out, took a risk, and it wound up paying off?
Yes, indeed.
Tell me, what was it? Just me and you talking. Nobody else here, just me and you.
What's okay. Your time? Well, I was 15 in high school, and 15. I decided to go to Thailand for a mission trip.
No kidding.
It would have been during the school year, and so over Christmas break, I taught myself 2 weeks of school so that I could fly to Thailand, take that time off, and I did. And I didn't know anybody on the team, and it was kind of lonely. I had a cold. I was sick, and yet it was so worth it because I got to see how they lived in Thailand, how blessed we are, and I learned how to rely on God's strength rather than my own.
Hey, that's cool. All right. And still memories that'll last a lifetime, too, yeah. I would imagine. Yeah, that's the thing, is a lot of times those risks that we take, even the ones that don't always pan out the way we would hope they would, I mean, the fact is they create a resilience. And I think that's what's missing. You know, you don't see movies made about people who refuse to take risks unless they're the ones who are being, you know, shown in the movie as we don't want to be like that guy. I mean, I can't think of one. I mean, maybe you can, but I can't think of one where we should be proud of the character who refused to ever take a risk. I can't think of one. I mean, I'm drawing a complete blank on that, so I guess I'm going to go with solid and conservative and apparently just plain right about movies. But no, the hero in the movie is typically always that person who's willing to step out or do the right thing when it's hard or go the extra mile or, you know, do something self-sacrificing for others or whatever. And I just, I'm concerned that there is a growing movement, especially on the left, to say we should not take chances. We should shut down society again. We should all wear masks on airplanes forever. We should all, you know, life should, this is our new normal. Well, forget that. No, it's not. No. Well, I don't know if you saw it too, but you know, part of taking a risk is if you're going to lead, if you are truly going to be a leader, then maybe you have to encourage people. You know, I did this segment, I don't remember how long ago it was, Copper, maybe you remember, it was like a couple of months ago, I think, about what do they call it, toxic positivity.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the idea. The left has created a thing called toxic positivity. Which they say is just over-glossing the facts, encouraging people when it doesn't make sense to encourage them. Well, how about this? Instead of sitting around going, we're all going to die, maybe someone should say, you know what? We all need to live. Let's live. I don't know how long we have left. Let's live. And yet I look at the Biden administration and I'm thinking, God almighty, it's like they don't have a clue. So I'm gonna open this topic right now. Number one of the triple dipper was COVID mixed messages, but here's a non-mixed message, all right? This one technically is not mixed because it's so direct and it's inflammatory, and to me it's this guy's name is Jeffrey Zients, Z-I-E-N-T-S. Jeffrey Zients. You ever heard of him? Nope, neither have I. Jeffrey Zients is apparently the White House's chief coordinator for the US coronavirus response. Really? That's your job? You're the White House's chief coordinator for the U.S. coronavirus response. Well, he opened a press briefing on December 17th, which is this past Friday. He opened the press briefing by saying, "Good morning and thanks for joining us." And it was a press briefing apparently done by Zoom, because it's still scary for some people to be in a room with people, I guess. But anyway, he goes on, he's going to introduce a guy named Dr. Walensky, who's going to give some medical updates on the Omicron, you know, variant. Oh, Lord, the Omicron. But so Zint starts off by saying several things, greetings, thank you. And then he says this. And by the way, I took this. I've got it printed out. Thank you to Caitlin, who forwarded me the link so I could find it. This is literally straight off of the White House's website, whitehouse.gov. Titled Press Briefing by White House COVID-19 Response Team and Public Health Officials. Old Jeffrey Zients says, "We are intent on not letting Omicron disrupt work and school for the vaccinated. For the vaccinated. You've done the right thing and we will get through this. For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm." And then he goes on to say a couple paragraphs later, "This is not a moment to panic." Okay. The ship's going down. Everybody jump into the water. There's no time for the lifeboats. Do what you can. Save yourselves. No time to panic here. Well, first of all, Jeffrey Zients is an idiot. I'm just going to go ahead and say I have zero respect for someone who goes on and misleads, by the way. And I'm not a doctor, but misleads the public to say, first of all, the government's only going to look after work and school issues for the vaccinated. That came out of his mouth. And then he goes on to say, for the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your family, and your hospital. I mean, was he sitting there? Was he cackling when he said it? I mean, this feels like some kind of a bad character from a Harry Potter movie. Over in the corner with a scrunched up face and twisting his fingers together. For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves and your families and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm. Idiot. All right, listen. That is not accurate. That is not accurate at all. I'm not even a doctor. I can tell you that's a joke. But that's what they're saying at the White House. Old Jeffrey Zients. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Going to come back here and talk to you about some mixed messages in COVID world. Be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, I got to tell you, you know, it's one of those things too, when I find our show literally doing the resourcing and getting it prepared. I mean, I was prepared this morning. I was doing this at like 5:30 this morning, 5:45, resourcing the show with different articles. And getting all my paper ready. And then I resource the show. And like I'm sitting here right now in the studio talking to you guys on the air. And while I'm talking on the air about COVID mixed messages, sure enough, Fox News is up on the screen. And the byline under their interview they're doing with Art Laffer is, quote, "Confusion for employers regarding Biden vaccine mandate." That's exactly it. I mean, it's gotten to the point that you don't know which way is up, because the Biden administration, without any research, authority, or constitutional grounds, issued these vaccine mandates. And keep in mind, we have the multiple versions. We have the OSHA mandate on employers, private employers with 100 or more employees. We have the federal contractor mandate. We have the military mandate. We have the Medicaid and Medicare Services, the CMS, Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services, medical employees mandate. I mean, there's different versions of the mandate everywhere you look, because they're trying to grab every sector of society they possibly can. Well, these things are all getting enjoined in court, and then they're being appealed, and then some of them, most recently, we've seen been reversed on appeal, but now are pending appeal to the Supreme Court of the United States. I mean, it is just unbelievable. On top of all that, though, you've got what I was talking about right before the last break. Old Jeffrey Zients, the White House chief coordinator for the U.S. coronavirus, warned that those of you who are unvaccinated, stand by for this. Prepare yourselves. Are you sitting down? The unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and the hospitals you may soon overwhelm. This is not a moment to panic. That's his actual statements. That's the White House talking to you. There's leadership. Just further proof of what I've been saying since this show started is that it's obvious, it's extremely obvious, that Joe Biden has never led anything in his entire life. He has enjoyed the opportunity to have 40 years in D.C. of rhetoric without responsibility. He can make a speech, walk away, and be in charge of nothing. Now, it's all on his desk, and you can tell he's never had any preparation for true leadership. Well, so this guy, Jeffrey Zients, I'm looking at a story right now. This came off of ABC News. And, of course, ABC News is loving it. Well, Jeffrey Zients speaking truth, I guess. But they go on and talk about the fact that he spoke along with CDC Prevention and Control Director Director Rochelle Walensky and Chief Medical Advisor Anthony Fauci, highlighting the importance of vaccines. And then he went on to just talk about the fact that they're already recommending. Fauci said this in the same briefing, asked if the task force that Jeffrey Zients is in charge of, asked if the task force is considering recommending people get boosters earlier than 6 months after their final shot, Fauci said, it's on the table. Yeah. And they go on to talk about, oh, it's the best thing in the world. Now, listen, I'm going to remind you, by the way, that I am not anti-vax. I'm just not. You can't call me an anti-vaxxer, but I am anti-mandate. And I'm getting to the point where it's easy for me to say I'm anti-stupid. All right, I'm anti-stupid because you cannot continue to lie and gaslight the American people and say, it's all about the vaccine. If you had the vaccine, it would all be better. Then we could take the masks off and then life could return to normal. Well, you said all that, didn't you? What happened? Apparently it didn't work because the Biden administration right this very minute. I saw I think it's Dr. Nicole Sapphire this morning on Fox who clearly said, there is no reason why the Biden administration couldn't be taking a victory lap right now because they've reached herd immunity. But they don't want to do that because they want to continue the next round of shots and the next round of control. So there's always going to be, at this point, some measure of COVID in the world. There just is. Look up the word endemic and compare that to pandemic. Pandemic is where they've been. Endemic is where you got to live with it. It's a part of life. And we're there. And the idea that some locales are still shutting things down, despite the fact that, look, here's a story. Where'd I get this one? Blaze Media. Came out yesterday, Sunday afternoon, 9:37 p.m., actually. The state of Michigan last week published data that shows that schools with no mask mandates had similar COVID-19 case rates to schools with mandates. Did you catch that? The state of Michigan published data showing that schools that had no mask mandates had similar COVID-19 case rates to schools that do have mask mandates. Meaning that apparently in Michigan, the state of Michigan has issued a study that indicates that the masks may not be truly preventative or really even slowing it down. It goes on to say at the end of the article, a peer-reviewed study by researchers from the University of Louisville released in August had similar findings and concluded that mask mandates in use likely did not affect COVID-19 case growth. I'm just telling you. But then we got, and this is the Military Times, my thanks to a staff sergeant in the Alabama National Guard who communicated with me one-on-one, who wanted to make sure I'd seen an article because, part of the mixed messaging is the question of watching leadership around the nation and how different leaders in the same positions are responding. I mean, we have 50 governors. Technically, we have 50 National Guard adjutant generals, not including like Puerto Rico and some of the territories. We have 50 attorneys general. We have, 50 state legislatures. And the mixed messaging is in part a question of leadership, not always about whether they're doing it a certain way. I'm talking about leadership in general. Leadership in this particular case I'm about to reference is looking out for your people, looking out for your troops. Now, the argument will be, I think making them get vaccinated is me looking out for my troops. Okay, maybe that's your thought. The protection of the entire force should be one of your concerns, certainly. What about concerns about readiness? What about concerns about the fact that we've never had a vaccine that forced people out of the service? when the anthrax vaccine was being, you know, touted. I was in service then. Did not want that thing. Did not. Did you see me complete my anthrax regimen? Nope. Somehow or another, I was always away when those shots were being given, or at least not trying hard to be present. But nonetheless, I'd had to get part of the anthrax, and I didn't get the rest of it. And guess what? A whole bunch of folks refused, like flat out refused. And were they forced out of the service? No. Well, this past week, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, along with Oklahoma's governor and several others, have said they will not be enforcing these vaccine mandates against their state National Guard. Remember, I talked about it last week. There was a letter, and I put it out on social media. It's on my social media. It's on my Twitter right now. You can find a copy of the letter signed by five governors, to include Mississippi's state Tate Reeves. And Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves said, "I did this, along with others, because I don't believe that we should have to force our state National Guard, when they are not on federal active duty, to be vaccinated against their will, which degrades readiness that we need at the state level to respond to natural disasters and civil disturbances and general life of our National Guard." Well, just so you know, thank you to the staff sergeant who made sure I saw this article, because I had not seen it until this morning. Quoted in the Military Times, "The Alabama National Guard will not be following Oklahoma's lead," confirmed spokesperson Sandra Lucas, who said the state of Alabama is, quote, "well underway in its vaccination effort and is following Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin's orders." The state's top general also emphasized the importance of the vaccine in a statement to the Army Times. And this is a quote: "Vaccinations will help ensure our guardsmen's health and safety while preserving our readiness and ability to execute missions at home and abroad," said Army Major General Cheryl Gordon. "Our professionalism and willingness to serve are what makes the Alabama National Guard always ready and always there." Yeah, she didn't say that, but it was written for her to sound good. But the reality is this. Governor Ivey is who General Gordon reports to. Governor Ivey was so excited back when she appointed General Gordon because she was the first female ever appointed to be adjutant general. "I don't care if you have purple skin and come from Mars. I just want a warfighter who loves the troops and will do what it takes to defend the interests of the state of Alabama and the United States." But it was very exciting to Governor Ivey to have the first ever female adjutant general. And this first ever female adjutant general is Major General Cheryl Gordon, who has decided she is not going to be doing anything to ask the Biden administration to hold off on vaccines for the National Guard. Why is that, you ask? Well, because she answers to Governor Ivey. What does that have to do with anything? Because if Governor Ivey wanted to direct her to, Governor Ivey could ask her to take a stand. And there is zero indication that has happened. As other governors are signing letters asking the Secretary of Defense to back off of the military mandate for the National Guard of their states, nothing is being done in that regard by Governor Ivey or Major General Cheryl Gordon. Well, listen, I got more on this topic, and then coming up top of the hour, we're going to have Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty give us a heads up on what's happening right now in the legal fight against all this. There have been some changes in the last few days, not the least of which is breaking news. In the last hour, a presser was issued by our own Attorney General Steve Marshall, which is pretty solid. I'll report on that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and, yep, just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, by the way, let me tell you about my friends at Otter Creek. So I was talking to Frank the other day. Otter Creek Farm is run by Frank and Jane, my friends, and they have been doing an amazing job out there building something that has become known world around. They've got people flying in from Europe to stay at Otter Creek Farm and do a quail or pheasant hunt. They were featured in Garden and Gun magazine. Donald Trump Jr. came and stayed there for an overnight hunt. Folks, I'm just telling you, this place is incredible, and it's right here in North Alabama. But it's beyond just a hunting, wing shooting destination. Their facilities and their grounds are so impeccable, they've become a wedding destination. Frank was telling me they're already getting booked up for 2022 on weddings and that the hunting season is largely full, but there's still a way to get in there. So if you want to go check it out, literally, maybe even have a corporate retreat or just a getaway, go check out their website, OtterCreekFarmstead.com. That's OtterCreekFarmstead.com. You will be glad you did. All right, breaking news right now, looking at it. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall just announced in the last hour that in reference to the fact that the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit, which is, by the way, where they consolidated the majority of the OSHA mandate cases, that just Friday, and I'm going to have Matt Clark talk about this in more detail at the top of the hour, but on Friday evening, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit reinstated the private employer vaccine mandate. That's the one for employers with 100 or more employees. And within hours of that, Attorney General Marshall's press release says, the state of Alabama, along with dozens of other state and private parties, filed an emergency application with the U.S. Supreme Court asking the court to immediately halt the mandate until the court hears the case and issues a final ruling. Goes on to say, at the same time, the Department of Justice, the Biden Department of Justice, asked the Supreme Court to take up the healthcare worker vaccine mandate. And previously, as announced on November 30th, the state of Alabama had already gotten that one enjoined. And then at the same time, he says that they're optimistic the Supreme Court will act swiftly in both cases. Then he goes on to say, where was it here in the press release? Over the weekend, with regards to the federal contractor vaccine mandate. Over the weekend. I didn't know about this one. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the 11th Circuit denied the Biden Department of Justice's motion to reinstate the mandate for federal contractors while it's pending appeal. That leaves it blocked in Alabama and all the other states in that case. In other words, if you are a federal contractor wondering if something has changed for you, no, it has not. In fact, this weekend, apparently, according to Attorney General Steve Marshall's press release in the last hour, breaking news, that we are still locked down and enjoined from having to enforce the federal contractor mandate. And more to come with Matt Clark on the legalities when we get back at the top of the hour. So, but here's the deal. Mixed messages. It's amazing to me some of the knuckleheads that are out there. Now, this is from the Washington Post. So the Washington Post, of course, one of the bastions of liberalism in print. Golly, this thing is awful. Now, this one's from August, all right? So I'm reaching back a little bit. But what I'm about to read to you is counter to the one that came out yesterday regarding Governor Ron DeSantis and his statements. I am glad that this guy named Drew Weston, writing an opinion piece for the Washington Post, is not in a position of leadership. His title of his piece on August 7th of this year was, "We were patient with the unvaccinated. We cannot afford that anymore." What? He says, we finally may be at a turning point in Americans' attitude toward vaccine refusers. And he goes on to describe how the unvaccinated is a phrase that's beginning to be part of the ordinary parlance. He goes on to talk about the fact that people who don't get vaccinated are just questioning scientific data and the guidelines that are being put out. It's almost like the person who's talking in the back of the fifth grade class and the teacher punishes the whole class. What a knucklehead this guy is. He says at the bottom of page one of his article, we have reached the point, however, at which we can no longer coddle the intransigent. We can no longer continue to put their freedom to die over our freedom to live. Yeah. And then he goes on to talk about all the great ways that the Biden administration could begin to use vaccine passports and other restrictions on society to try and make those people who just only care about their freedoms, just their freedoms. Well, how about this? Article from the Washington Examiner dated yesterday afternoon, 5:40 p.m. Title, DeSantis, Preserving Individual Freedoms is the Key to Florida's Success. Thank you. Thank you. Leadership. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis touted the preservation of individual freedoms as the key to his state's success as he spoke with Maria Bartiromo on Fox's Sunday Morning Futures. He says this, Floridians know we will not let anybody lock them down. We will not let anyone take their jobs. We will not let anyone ruin their businesses, and we will not let anyone close their schools. So people are going to be able to live life. They're going to be able to make their own decisions. He went on and talked about the fact that they've been creating jobs like crazy in the state of Florida. He says we have less taxes. That's part of the reason people are drawn here. But he said, since COVID, people also know that in Florida, their freedoms are going to be respected. And he goes on to talk about the legal fights that Florida is in with Alabama and other states. So thank you, Ron DeSantis, for adding clarity to a Washington Post piece that felt like, you know, freedoms. What are freedoms? Well, so the Washington Examiner, once again, I'm looking at an article that came out yesterday that does talk about the fact that in the legal world right now, the mixed messaging is also the fact that the various mandates, depending upon where they are, that's why it's going to be a Supreme Court issue, folks. If there is something that is of a federal question, this is, which also deals with a question of diversity, in this legal sense, diversity means something involving multiple states. If there is a question of diversity or federal question, then the Supreme Court will take it up, especially if there are rulings that are contradictory in various locales across the nation that have the ability to impact the nation as a whole. Now, that's me paraphrasing. What I'm saying there is, now, part of what they've already done was they've consolidated much of what's happening in one circuit, the Sixth Circuit. But the Sixth Circuit, even though they are largely conservative, apparently some of their more liberal members were on the three-judge panel that heard the appeal of the OSHA mandate. OSHA mandate's the one with private sector employees, 100 or more in the business. And the OSHA mandate has already been enjoined at the lower level. It went up on appeal. The Sixth Circuit is hearing the appeal, and the Sixth Circuit has agreed to reinstate the mandate for now. Okay, what does that mean? It means immediately we have to go to the Supreme Court to get it figured out. I do believe the Supreme Court will take this up. I think they have to. Supreme Court can't leave a question like this hanging out there. My sincere hope is we're going to see the Supreme Court take up these matters very soon and once and for all put a stake through the heart of these mixed messages. I'm not even going to get to all my stuff in this particular topic because I want to cover down some of the ground with my buddy Matt from the Center for Law and Liberty. But I'm just looking at literally right now, tomorrow, President Biden is going to hold a press conference and probably announce new measures, new things he's going to do. Keep in mind, it was his White House that said it's going to be a dark winter. Death, destruction, mayhem. Well, how about this? I agree with Governor Ron DeSantis. We have to live life, and freedoms do mean something. Coming right back, top of the hour, my buddy Matt Clark from the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. He's suing right now to beat these mandates, and he'll tell us about the latest legalities in that vein. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.